this evening we continue in our evening series, which is in the book of Exodus. The title of our series is Jesus and the Journey, and we're in Exodus chapter 8. Last week, of course, we were in Exodus chapter 7, where we saw the first plague that God sent upon Egypt when he turned the water of the Nile, and really the water throughout Egypt, into blood. In this chapter, we see the second, third, and fourth plagues, namely the plagues of the frogs, the gnats, and the flies. Let's consider what God has for us as we read God's word here. Exodus chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. This is the word of the one true and living God. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go in to Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will plague all your country with frogs. The Nile shall swarm with frogs that shall come up into your house and into your bedroom and on your bed and into the houses of your servants and your people and into your ovens and your kneading bowls. The frogs shall come up on you and on your people and on all your servants.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the canals, and over the pools, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt.' So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. The magicians did the same by their secret arts and made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, 'Plead with the Lord to take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go to sacrifice to the Lord.' Moses said to Pharaoh, 'Be pleased to command me when I am to plead for you and for your servants and for your people, that the frogs may be cut off from you and your houses and be left only in the Nile.' And he said, 'Tomorrow.' Moses said, 'Be it as you say, so that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs shall go away from you and your houses and your servants and your people. They shall be left only in the Nile.' So Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord about the frogs, as he had agreed with Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. The frogs died out in the houses, the courtyards, and the fields, and they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, he hardened his heart and would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, so that it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt.' And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, 'This is the finger of God.' But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water, and say to him, "Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people and into your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall happen.' And the Lord did so. There came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses. Throughout all the land of Egypt, the land was ruined by the swarms of flies. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, 'Go, sacrifice to your God within the land.' But Moses said, 'It would not be right to do so, for the offerings we shall sacrifice to the Lord our God are an abomination to the Egyptians. If we sacrifice offerings abominable to the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not stone us?' we must go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he tells us. So Pharaoh said, I will let you go sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you must not go very far away. Plead for me. Then Moses said, Behold, I am going out from you, and I will plead with the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. Only let not Pharaoh cheat again by not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord. And the Lord did as Moses asked, and removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained. But Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also, and did not let the people go. So far the reading of God's holy word. To his name be praise and glory. Let's look to him in prayer. O Lord our God, we thank you for your word. Even as we read this Old Testament narrative, these words that record events that happened so long ago, we pray, O God, that you would grant us ears to hear your word and hearts to receive it. We pray, O God, that you would so accompany your word as it is preached, is to transform us, that you would grant us repentance of something of the sin that we see here in the heart and life of Pharaoh, that you would grant us repentance from presumption and from pride, that you would help us to be a humble people, a people whom you draw near to and equip to the honor and glory of your name. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. As we considered the first plague last week, we considered the fact that at the heart of all of these plagues is the heart of Pharaoh, this hardened, obstinate, proud heart of Pharaoh. And we see the heart of Pharaoh again at the heart of the second, third, and fourth plagues. And of course, this is the word of God for the people of God. And so as we consider Pharaoh's heart and his life, we should ask the Lord, what do you have to teach me tonight? What does this teach me about myself? What does this teach me about my relationship to you? What does this passage call me to do in terms of putting my sin to death and putting on the righteousness that pleases you? As we ask the Lord to do such a work, I want us to consider the theme of the folly of forfeited opportunities. The folly of forfeited opportunities. That's what we see here, isn't it, in the life of Pharaoh. The Lord, even in the midst of these plagues, repeatedly offered Pharaoh opportunities to repent. Pharaoh kept forfeiting those opportunities. This evening, I want us to consider the folly of such forfeiture. And as we do, let us look to the Lord for mercy, that we might avail ourselves of the opportunities, these windows of opportunities that the Lord gives us in our lifetime to know him and to grow in his grace. First of all, I want you to notice that those who forfeit opportunities to know the Lord and grow in his grace are foolish because they presume upon the kindness of God. Those who forfeit opportunities to know God and to grow in his grace are foolish. They are fools in the biblical sense of that word because they presume upon the kindness of God. Again, as we read just moments ago in verses 1 through 15, we have the plague of the frogs. And just as the plague of the Nile had been an attack on the religious system of the Egyptians, the God of the river Nile was the god Hapi, and as God demonstrated the impotence of Hapi and the folly of believing in Hapi, so here an attack, a polemic against the religion of the Egyptians is made once again. One of the goddesses of Egypt was the goddess Heket. And Heket was this woman who had the head of a frog. And it was believed that, among other things, Heket controlled the frog population of Egypt. It was believed that she controlled that population by preserving and providing for crocodiles who ate the frogs and kept frogs from multiplying too much and overtaking the land. Well, God was demonstrating the impotence of Heket to control the population of the frogs. He was demonstrating the impotence of this God and the folly of believing in this false God. He caused the frogs of the Nile to come up out of the Nile and to swarm and inhabit the land of Egypt. Verse 3, the Nile shall swarm with frogs. The word swarm, perhaps in your translation it says team, is the same language that was used back in Genesis at creation when God caused animals to swarm, to team the earth, and the fish of the sea to team within the sea. It's the same language here. It's a demonstration that God, the Lord, Yahweh, is the sovereign creator and sustainer of all things. Not Heket or Hapi or Pharaoh or any other false god. So the Lord plagued Egypt with these frogs. And you notice Pharaoh's request, perhaps it's somewhat unexpected here. As we've been reading through this narrative, we think, wow, there's a glimmer of hope for Pharaoh. Maybe he's cracking the door of his life open to the Lord. You know, the great Norwegian devotional writer, Ole Halsby, said prayer is opening the door of your life to the risen Christ that he might come in and change things. Perhaps that's what Pharaoh is doing here. Verse 8, Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, Plead with the Lord to take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses graciously interceded on behalf of Pharaoh. Verse 13, Moses interceded on behalf of Pharaoh, and then in verse 13, what do we read? The Lord graciously acted in answer to those intercessions. The Lord did according to the word of Moses. Amazing kindness demonstrated to Pharaoh by Moses. And Pharaoh had been ridiculing and condemning Moses, the representative of the enslaved people under Pharaoh's oppressive hand. Tremendous kindness Moses shows to Pharaoh, tremendous kindness that the Lord demonstrates to Pharaoh by relieving the land of this plague. Yet in verse 15, what do we read? But when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, he hardened his heart and would not listen to them as the Lord had said. He forfeits this opportunity to repent of his sin in response to the kindness of God, to turn from his sin and trust in the God of the Hebrews. And the same, of course, happened. The same pattern occurred again in the context of the fourth plague when God sent the flies upon Egypt. In verse 28, Pharaoh again asked Moses to plead to God on his behalf, and Moses did so graciously. He interceded for this enemy of God and enemy of God's people. And the Lord graciously removed all of the flies. We read in verse 32, but Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also and did not let the people go. That was Pharaoh's response to the kindness of God demonstrated through Moses' intercessions, demonstrated through the Lord's answers to Moses' prayers on behalf of this undeserving sinner. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 and following, what does Paul write there? He writes, "Do you presume on the riches of God's kindness and forbearance and patience?" not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. But because of your hard and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. It's exactly what Pharaoh was doing. He was presuming upon the kindness of God, demonstrated through the prayers of Moses and the Lord's answers to those prayers to send relief to Pharaoh and to his people. He was presuming upon the riches of God's kindness, or as the Authorized Version puts it, he was despising the kindness of the Lord. And therefore he was storing up wrath for himself. He was calling down judgment upon himself. It didn't have to be that way for Pharaoh. Pharaoh could have responded, should have responded to the kindness of the Lord, this opportunity given him, by confessing his sins, acknowledging his sins before the Lord, and turning from them in humility and in faith. They who forfeit such opportunities to repent of sin and know the Lord and grow in grace are foolish because they presume upon the kindness, the repeated kindness, the riches of the Lord's kindness to them. Secondly, this evening, and this is my second and final point this evening, those who are foolish before the Lord, those who forfeit opportunities to know the Lord and grow in grace are foolish because they are too proud to be counted among the kindred of God. Not only do they presume upon the kindness of God, but they're too proud to be counted among the kindred of God. We should note briefly what happened during this third plague, the plague of the gnats, variously translated gnats, mosquitoes, maggots. Not exactly sure what these were, but they weren't good. They were uninvited guests. After the third plague of the gnats, even the magicians, these proud, foolish magicians who kept seeking to show that they were as good as Moses by repeating the plagues of Moses upon themselves and upon the Egyptians, they even confess in verse 19, not being able to repeat the plague of the gnats, they confess, "This is the finger of God." They said that to Pharaoh. From his own magicians, from his own priests, he hears this testimony, this admission. "We can't do this. This power is above us. It is above our gods. This is the God of the Hebrews doing this." Even in the face of that testimony, Pharaoh refused to humble himself. And I believe in the fourth plague, we see not only Pharaoh's pride toward God, his contempt for God, but we see his pride toward, his contempt for the people of God. Those two things always go together. When someone is too proud to bow the knee before God, what's also going on is they're too proud to be counted among the people of God. They disdain the people of God, the humble children, the humble servants of God, and they don't care to be numbered with such humble, presumably weak and needy people. The Lord told Pharaoh in verses 22 and 23 that in order to protect the Hebrews from this fourth plague, he was going to do the following. He said, beginning in verse 22, "But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. We spoke about that first, the preface of the Lord's Prayer. And then the first petition is the hallowing of God's name. That's why God was bringing these plagues, is to show that He alone was the one true and living God. It's the hallowing of His name, the setting apart of His name above the name of Hapi and Heket and Pharaoh and all these false gods. It was to the glory of His name, to know that He was the Lord. And He says in verse 23, I will put a division between My people and your people. Tomorrow this sign will happen. The word division is more literally in the Hebrew, the word redemption. These were God's redeemed people. These were God's set apart people by His grace. He was going to protect them, as we sang that wonderful psalm, Psalm 92. He was going to provide a shelter, not Psalm 91, excuse me. He's going to provide a shelter for them, a refuge for them. He's going to demonstrate His covenant faithfulness to these needy people, these enslaved people, these, by the world's standing perspective, these pitiful people. God was going to show that they were His people, His beloved, His favored people, His prized and precious possession. Pharaoh wanted no part of that. Pharaoh despised the Hebrews. And he preferred to suffer rather than humble himself and be counted among the kindred of God. In his mind, he was simply too good for them. Now contrast that with what the writer to the Hebrews says about Moses. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 26, there we read of what we've already seen in the life of Moses in our study of Exodus. There, the writer to the Hebrews writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. What a contrast. In his humility, Moses preferred to be with the Lord's people when they were suffering rather than enjoy the comforts of Egypt. But Pharaoh, in his sinful pride, preferred to suffer under God's judgment rather than humble himself before God and unite himself by faith to the Lord's people. And then, of course, by even greater contrast, we consider our Lord Jesus, one greater than Moses, his humility to unite himself to us, by becoming one of us. Weren't those wonderful words we sang at the outset of the service? Those words of Martin Luther. All praise to Thee, eternal Lord, clothed in a garb of flesh and blood, choosing a manger for Thy throne, while worlds on worlds are Thine alone. What a contrast to Pharaoh's pride and to mine. Pharaoh thought he was above the Lord, above his redemption, above his covenant people. So again, we should ask the Lord, Lord, search my heart. Show me myself as I consider the heart and the life of Pharaoh, as I consider the way in which Pharaoh forfeited these opportunities which You afforded him to turn to You in humility and in faith. We must ask the Lord not to allow us to be controlled by presumption and by pride, such that we miss those golden opportunities that the Lord gives us when he draws near to us in his word to turn from sin and embrace him as Savior and as Lord. I'm going to close this evening with those very simple words of the prophet Isaiah, which calls us away from the folly that we see in the heart and life of Pharaoh, and to that place of real and eternal blessing with God. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And I believe he's near right now through the message of the gospel. He's coming to you once again as he came to Pharaoh time and time again. He's drawing near to you once again. And he's saying, seek me while I may be found. Call upon me while I am near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do confess as we read of the folly of Pharaoh as he forfeited these wonderful opportunities, these windows of opportunity to turn to you, that we see something of our own presumption as we presume upon your kindnesses to us. And we see something of our pride toward you, and yes, toward your humble covenant people. Lord God, forgive us for our desire to be a friend of the world, but we are reminded that a friend of the world is an enemy with God. Lord God, help us to humble ourselves before you this night, maybe even for the first time. Seek you while you may be found, and call upon you while you are near, to forsake our sinful way and to trust in you, for you will have compassion on anyone who turns to you in repentance and faith, and you will abundantly pardon our sins and grant us a new life, a renewed zeal to follow after you, to serve you, to know you, and to make your glory known in our lives. Do this wonderful work, we pray, in Jesus' name.